Welcome back again to the Spinner Rack, New You Maniacs, here at Season 4 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, Episode 92 of the Voice of the New Universe. We are your hosts.
Steven with the Star Brand number 16, and
Andy with a random Night Mask backup story again.
Night Mask?
Getting
again.
Used to these things. 1986... The New Universe was launched as an imprint from Marvel Comics, dedicated to a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics and world building. The original idea was the world outside your window with real-time progress and greater realism. After the first year, some books were canceled, although we're seeing their characters in backup stories and regular issues. And the remaining books have gotten mostly consistent creative teams, streamlined origins, and becoming quite a bit more action-oriented as the new universe becomes increasingly militarized in the wake of the world-shaking disaster, The Pit. Also some character deaths. Since then, we've seen the U.S. government drafting paranormals and maybe even gearing up for a war. Exciting times.
Wow.
With our podcast, you can follow along each week as we go through each comic, the order they came out, or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. You can also find us at www.kickersinc.com, try our trivia challenge, and on X at Kickers Inc. Good times.
Where I frequently post.
Right. In theory. I honestly don't check it. This week we get to our bi-monthly former beloved flagship, the Star Brand. Ken Connell, the original bearer of the Star Brand, becomes defocused as the story moves into other random people who take up the mantle of the most powerful weapon in the universe for some reason.
Well, I'll have to use that more often. Defocused. As like, what happened to that guy? He became a megalomaniac and totally trashed his character. And then, oh, he became defocused. Okay. This week, the Star Brand number 16, the Star Child plays God and unleashes the ultimate curse, the elimination of death in the new universe. Written and penciled by John Byrne, inked by Tom Palmer. Elimination of death. Too late for Stassi, too early for whoever dies next. But.
Good okay. Point. Nice going, Star Child. You're useless. But yeah, as mentioned, we also have a bonus feature, another backup story, picking up Night Masks. I guess following up on last week's Justice, where he was on a road trip and ran into some cartoonish bikers. Right? So this is totally different, though. So
yeah, it doesn't continue the road trip story, which would have been interesting, possibly. I don't know. We will get to that in a minute. But first, the Star Brand number 16. Man,
to the rescue!
We used to be so happy when Star Brand would come out.
Thousands of years ago.
That's how it feels. It is cover dated November 1988, and we believe hit the stands August 16, 1988. And we recently noticed our schedule is synced up with this, so possibly you will be hearing it on August 16th, 2024, or later. We're not rushing you. Anyway. Star Brand has been a bit of a definitely changed since John Byrne took over. Ken Connell has taken a backstage, and we last saw him perhaps driving his motorcycle off a cliff. The main characters maybe are possibly the Star Child. The Trump baby that we saw in last issue, or maybe Roger and Jane Price, who were friends with Debbie Duck, Or maybe it's the doctors in the army hospital.
Right?
And
Maybe
maybe
it's
we get a new
the
one
pits. I
this
don't
week.
know.
Yeah. So yeah, it's has been kind of oh, okay. We also had Mac Browning. I'm trying to remember now. Last issue, the Star Baby and like the weird plant and animal life that was growing out of the pit was apparently, well, this Star Baby said he was going to do something, and we were not quite sure what it was at the time.
He like circled it with a force field or something and then like cut off its life force and it died and then he felt bad.
Yeah, we felt bad when he brought Roger back to life, also, who he'd accidentally killed.
Right.
So yeah, of all the people that have been resurrected in Starbrand, we have the old man, Roger Price.
Maybe the Star Baby
Thanks.
was just like, why is this guy in this book? And then just zapped him to death. And then just kind of felt bad afterwards, like, ah, well, don't have any other characters, so we better bring this one back to life, make him buff.
Make him buff was part of it. Yeah, they you are now perfect, Roger. That was great. Anyway, let's look at the cover.
Gross.
It is something that we had, when we were collecting the new universe, like really jumped out at us because it's well, one, flaming magenta everywhere. And two, it's like a classic comic book supervillain looking thing, sort of a cyborg Doctor Doom.
Yeah, to me it
That is,
reminds me of Emperor Zurg from Toy Story 2, if you're in the know. He's like the
it's
purple
it's a
guy.
little rough, but I think I know what you're going for there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It turns out it's a little miscolored because you're supposed to be able to see the guy's brain through the upper case there.
That's one of my all-time favorite villain superhero things ever, is the visible brain.
Visible brain. Well, now I'll truly be invulnerable now that my brain is visible to everyone. It's like a whatever it is, it's holding a attractive young woman hostage in a rather provocative pose. I originally thought that must be Roger's wife Jane, but
Yeah. Originally, I thought it was Duck because they always mess up her hair color, but obviously, that's we know now that's not the case.
And we have what appears to be Roger busting through the wall in the Ken's last flashy Star Brand outfit with plus a cape, so even flashier. And there's a thing, Star Brand to the rescue. Ooh, this looks great. Okay, let's dive on inside. Title, well, let's see. The credits are John Byrne, writer slash art, which is I guess he does do his own inking sometimes. So interesting. In previous issues, he had done just breakdowns and finishes and inks by sometimes several other artists. So this is all Byrne. Title of the story, Death, Where Is Thy Sting? Which is a quote from 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57. O death, where is your victory? Death, where is thy sting? Last issue was a quote from Genesis, I believe. So I don't know. They're doing a lot of this. We see the splash page is Roger as Starbrand flying over a city and thinking to himself, and it is near the hideout of Cerebrex. I can feel it.
Feel
Or
the
should I do that in the class?
Celebrex working.
Should they do that in the classic Roger voice? It is near the hideout of Cerebrex. Sorry, he's an Nebbishy character. I don't know what to tell you. We turn the page and he's starts changing direction. There, My star vision has pinpointed his location. He's holed up in the tower of the Iacocca building. Do you remember Lee Iacocca?
I know the name, but that's about it.
Chairman of Chrysler, I believe, in the
okay.
80s. He was one of these famous, you know, rich guys slash industrial dudes.
Clearly needed to spend a little time thinking about who he's renting his building space out to.
Did I just hear that Chrysler changed its name recently?
Do they even make Chryslers anymore? I don't think so.
I was like, Stellaris or something? I don't know.
That also sounds like a pharmaceutical.
It
Twice daily Stellaris, you know.
I'm not saying we're in the age of mega corporations, but somehow the same, you know, military industrial complex has now also owns the pharmaceutical industry as well as the car industry. But anyway, so pseudo star brand flies in, and we see a recreation or possibly just a photocopied image from the cover, because I could not honestly pick anything but the very smallest changes between the panel on the top of page two and the cover.
Yeah, it's really weird to see the identical cover as a small panel.
But yeah, in this case, Roger is yelling, "Okay, Sarah Brex, let the girl go or there'll be trouble. Starbrand, you found me. But too late, hero. I have only to throw the master lever." He's got one of these supervillain Kirby tech levers there. "My Negatron polarizer will shatter the Earth's crust." Roger, "Well, I guess you better not throw that lever, Rexy. And with my infra-star vision," you see the, like, Superman heat vision beams coming out, "I'm just the boy to stop you." Very action and nice panel on the next page as Cerebrex explodes and the girl sort of goes flying. She comes up to hug him. "You saved me. You saved the whole world." He's, you know, "Oh, please, miss, just doing what anyone would do." While Cerebrex starts talking. "Noble to the last, but it proves your undoing. Without it, you might have destroyed me totally. Now," he reaches up to the lever, pulls it. "Pay the price for your altruism." And the planet explodes.
Whoops.
Whoops. It does look a bit like that thing we couldn't identify an issue or two ago where the Star Baby was maybe taking nukes out of like the missile silos or something. I don't know. We just have Roger in the bottom corner waking up. "No! Of course it's a dream." We go to the cut to the doctors. We've seen before. There's like an army base hospital where Roger and Jane are kind of being held because they were found at the pit.
"Spent 7 years to get this medical degree. I'm stuck here watching a guy sleep."
One of the doctors is new, so he's getting kind of filled in with the backstory by the one who's been there. And she's like, "Oh, you don't know about the amazing Roger Price." Boy, we all just like hear the most sarcasm dripping out of that voice. "The man who came back from the dead? You're kidding." She talks a little about how she herself had done the autopsy of him after he got fried somehow in the living quarters. And she says there wasn't a cell in his whole body that hadn't been ruptured. And not 2 minutes after I was done slicing him up, I went back and, "Well, take a look for yourself. Not only is he not dead, he's probably the healthiest man on Earth."
Wouldn't it be a pathologist that's looking at the cells? The autopsy is like the big stuff, right?
I guess you're right. Yeah.
She's lying.
It's outside we see it's like a storm or winter still or something, which I'll come back to at a later point. Someone like lab tech comes in and interrupts them and asks them to come
we'll
down
call him Jimmy
it.
Olsen.
He is Jimmy Olsen. We call him Smitty. Yeah, Smitty Olson, we'll call him.
Jimmy Olsen experimented on animals. That's what we'd get.
You can tell this is the 1980s because all these scientists are Caucasian and mostly male. Most biologists are now female, actually, as well as most medical students. Anyway, the he's like, you know, the monkeys we've been using to test the mutagenic effects of pit juice? They jumped right to a primate model. Interesting. Of course, we've been doing all the standard workup, exposure, injection, overdose, and dissection, naturally. Yeah, well, take a look at this. And there's some mess on a table. Doctor comes over and is like, is this some kind of joke, Smith? Nope, it's just what it looks like. But the animal's fully dissected. Its blood is even drained completely. Why isn't it dead? Ew. We switch over to another building, which turns out to be a hospital. And we see a doctor that we'd met before who is looking after this young boy who's dying. Yeah. And he's talking to a nurse this time.
Notably, this is kind of a confusing segue from hospital to hospital, from doctor to doctor, who are honestly pretty similar looking.
I sense that there's a little difference, but the whole setup is, you know, if you're a casual reading along, you're like, is this all in the same hospital? Yeah, I don't know. So the doctor and nurse are wondering why this boy doesn't die. He should have been dead hours ago. He's not on life support. His grandfather decided against taking extraordinary measures. And then they talk about how they don't want to give him extra drugs because that's kind of goes against medical ethics. Even though he's in terrible pain, possibly. So he's like, the doctor talks about the danger of addiction or overdose, but this doesn't really seem to be appropriate. So this is insane. There's nothing keeping this poor kid alive. Nothing. I think we better talk to Mr. Burnley again. Mr. Burnley is his grandfather, who we saw, who is very thinly disguised Wilford Brimley from...
Can we just call him Wilford Brimley?
I'll do that, sure. Yeah, yeah.
That feels right.
I'll do like a control F and then replace all. Yeah. the Brimley is watching the news where they're talking about the weather continues poor throughout the Quad State area as disturbances from the Pittsburgh crater continue to Jacob Burnley. I mean,
wait, is there a Quad Brimley. State area? Is that a thing?
That's a thing like in Iowa or something?
I only knew the tri-state area.
Yeah, not in no, that's the Quad Cities I'm thinking of. Yeah, somewhere Des Moines. Yeah. I it's not around Pittsburgh, I can tell you that. So okay. I don't know. Wilford,
what in the name of
what in the name of Quaker Oats here?
You almost disturbed my diabetes, sir.
Do not be afraid, Jacob. I am a friend. So what we have now is no longer the Trump baby. It is, I'll call him a twink. If there's a
there's like a just naked teen.
It's also similar to Mr. Burns as the alien in the X-Files episode of The Simpsons.
We bring you love.
Yeah, it's I don't know. There's like probably like a Greek word for this because there's this sort of character that would show up in all their myths, you know. Attractive young man who the
like an Adonis.
No,
not quite.
Twinkier than that. Yeah. Some things I'm not going to research too heavily. I'm sorry. I am a friend.
A friend, but I don't know.
No, we have not met, Jacob, but I sense your need.
What are you, some kind of angel?
No, I am the son of the man the world knew briefly as Starbrand, and mine is the greatest power in the universe.
Power? Starbrand? Oh my gosh. You came to help Billy? Is that it? You came to help make my grandson well again?
No, Jacob, I do not come to save Billy. That has already been done. I came to give you power.
It gets psychedelic there for some reason. Not quite sure
I
what's going on.
guess, yeah.
Is he hypnotizing him the way an old man would hypnotize everyone? I don't know. We smash cut to I'll call Pit Zone. It's the area outside Pittsburgh, which is now like a hellscape war zone that it's more like a video game than a like a real place. I don't know.
Yeah.
And we got a couple of guys shooting at more like shambling monsters. We'd kind of seen a couple of these before with the army guys shooting at them, but these are just normal dudes. One's saying, "I got him! I got him!" as a shot goes through this, oh, I don't know, horrifying thing. This is like demons that you would see in Swamp Thing at some point, I remember.
Yeah. They do look a bit like the guy from Justice. Creeping crud,
Oh yeah, creeping crud too. So is they're like they shot him, but he's getting up again. He shot it and he's getting up again. I told you we shouldn't have come here, Charlie. I said there was monsters, Charlie. It's monsters coming out of the pit. All right, I heard it. I'm heard it a million times. I just thought it was just stories to keep looters away. I was wrong. And now we're gonna pay for it. Because then things won't die. Why won't they die?
Well, what are these
Blam, blam,
guys
blam.
doing here in the first place anyway, right? Like, I kind of thought they were going to just shoot pit monsters, but.
I got the sense that they were themselves looters
Yeah.
and they were scavengers, whatever, but
Yeah.
you get this, like, why would normal people be in this whatever, you know? Like maybe the government doesn't have to, like, you know, guard the whole thing and keep everyone out, because you would think normal people would be like, I'm not going anywhere near that crazy whatever.
Right.
More crappy weather, as we see. And then a cut also, which seems to be an urban part of the pit zone, which is, again, you destroyed the center of the city. I'm not quite sure how that works, but it's kind of a church that's like half fallen down. And someone in a cloak, I mean, like a full death cloak, is speaking to another handful of scavengers, we'll call them. Death has no meaning. Whoever believes in me will never die. I am the chosen one. I am the wielder of power. And although that power has been usurped, though it has been stolen from me, still I am the new Messiah. Still I am the one who will save you. Do not fear the darkness of death. Believe in me, and it will never touch you. Believe in me, and there will never come an ending. We shall be heroes, each and every one of us, the new heroes of a bright new continuity. Getting a little more on the nose here. The figure we now see from behind, and he is taking his hood down, and everyone is looking horrified at him. Look upon me and know this to be true, for I was once the wielder of the Star Brand, and now I am your savior. So we're to believe this is Ken Connell after he ran his motorcycle off the mountain the other week. Now I am your savior. Wait a second. The savior was kicked out by the justice in issue number 18. You're no savior. Hey, millennials, let's get out of here. This guy's no good at all. Trying to
Actually, all
take
those
over this.
people are dead.
We now zip up to the near orbit where Wilford Brimley is flying and superimposed on the Star Brand.
Come a long way,
Take.
Starbrand. Wilford Brimley in space. Why didn't they put that on the cover?
Sales might have improved. Do not be frightened, Jacob. There is nothing which can now harm you.
But we gotta slow down here. You gotta explain. I'm an old man. I'll be 78 next month.
By the way, Wilford Brimley famously appeared in Cocoon as like a elderly man. He was like 50 at the time. Bum, 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 ba, dum, bum, bum.
No, he's the main healthy looking guy, I guess. It's
Makes me feel great.
like the opposite of those like 30-year-olds who play teenagers in high school.
Yeah, it's well, if you have a talent for it, it's good.
You should give this power to a young person, someone who will have new ideas, someone who will know what to do with it, not a tired old fogey like me.
No, Jacob. I have considered this very carefully. I know what to do. It's because of your age that I, and because of the good, kind heart I sense beating within your breast. I am leaving soon, Jacob, leaving this planet that spawned me.
All right,
I've
so wait,
come.
so if Ken Connell is now a stand-in for Jim Shooter, maybe Wilford Brimley's a stand-in for John Byrne, right? Like, why are you giving this book to me? I'm just an old man. Just give it to someone younger, perhaps with some new or good ideas.
Byrne is only 40 at most
Don't
at this point, yeah.
know.
So then the star child
Clearly
is
out of
Howard
ideas.
Mackey?
Yeah, there
I'm a
you
little
go.
insulted here. Oh, can't you take over the book for me, Roger?
No one wants to write it.
I have come to the realization I will never fully comprehend this universe or my place in it until I know where the power of the Star Brand came from. What was the bolt of energy which struck the first bearer of the power 500 years ago? Harry launches into a bit of soliloquy. Why did the old man relinquish the major portion of the power to my father? That's a question that's never been answered. Not by anyone writing the book. Then, too, I do not fully understand how the power came to me.
Neither do we.
Clearly, my father transferred some of it at the time of my creation. But is the power to be something that can be left unwillingly, wittingly, as one might leave fingerprints? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Let's just keep picking at that scab. All this I must now uncover, Jacob. But in this dark time, I cannot leave my world unguarded.
So you put the Starbrand power into me, or some of it anyway, but I still don't understand your choice.
A young man might ask rashly, as my father did, abuse the power.
Listen here, police. I didn't know what was going, but a naked teenager showed up to my room one day, took me into the space, and put the power in me. I didn't do anything wrong. He put it in me.
It's a good thing this isn't space, because it would be so embarrassing to have someone walk in on the hospital. Like, what are you doing? This patient has wandered off out from the psych ward, and you're just humoring him, I guess. Anyway, the star baby child now, is saying that there's too little time for gaining wisdom. Wisdom only comes with, passage of years, and since Wilford has already lived a full life, he will wield the power wisely. And interestingly, because he's just talking about he's got to leave the planet, and he's kind of fading out as he talks like about this. So, disappearing. Yeah, I've already taken steps which will make your task easier. I've partially disarmed the nations of the world, which I think is what we saw last issue. And by the way, I've eliminated death. And he's gone like Tinkerbell.
Eliminated.
Now, okay. So just Jacob is, Wilfred is flying there in space.
He couldn't have meant that, literally. Could, well, I better get back to Earth. Now, how do I do that? Oh, do I just think about it?
And yeah, he's flying. Okay.
Well, I think I'm probably still asleep on the couch in the doctor's lounge, but in case I'm not, I better get back there as quickly as I can to use this power. And the first thing I want to do is cure Billy.
So he, as we know now, teleports, since that's the thing the Starbrand supposedly does, to where the doctor is. Oh, Mr. Burnley, I didn't hear you come in. So it looked to me like Starbrand was leaving the planet, since he talked about leaving the planet and just faded out. But nope, he's gone to talk to Jane and Roger Price. Hello, Roger. Hello, Jane. Roger is, despite his Schwarzeneggerian physique, as pissy as ever. What do you want? You do not seem happy to see me. Is there any reason we should be? Our lives haven't been anything like the same since you turned up. Your violent birth killed one of Jane's oldest friends, and then you killed me. Accidentally, you said. And then you put me back together and turned me into a freak.
You are not happy with your new form, Roger? But is this not the ideal male form? The memories I absorbed from my mother.
Jane pipes up.
Look, Junior, your mom was a sweet kid, caring, loving, but she wasn't exactly Einstein, you know?
Man, I don't even know where this even comes from. Who are you, Jane? Are you in Mensa, Jane? I didn't see that sticker on your car.
Now she's in that like pro-abortion group, remember?
She was, she continues about Duck. She was confused about a lot of things. If she hadn't been, she'd never have gotten mixed up with a bozo like your father. Yes, my father is a bozo, as you put it. I mean, the book never misses an opportunity to trash Ken Connell. It is beyond, like, even now, after all that has happened, he continues to behave as if the power were his by divine right. And I have made many mistakes since my birth. I've used my power unwisely. I've killed. I've destroyed. But you taught me it was wrong, Jane. That is why I resurrected Roger. And that is why I have eliminated death.
You what?
Yes, it was not easy. It took me several weeks to understand the mechanism.
We have kind of a nice view of the Earth from space again.
But once I comprehended what death was, it took only a fraction of my power to eliminate it all over Earth.
Roger's left flabbergasted.
Your return to life was a separate event, Roger. Although I did learn much of how life and death operate as I searched through your body for some single cell in which a trace of life still existed.
Yeah, I told you
Having
that doctor was a liar.
And I mean, if you, yeah, I can't imagine a worse use of your time than searching through Roger Price for his, anyway.
Having learned as much as I felt I needed to know about the termination of the life processes, I simply bathed the planet in Starbrand energy. That energy touched all living things and made that life eternal.
Jane's pretty nonplussed. All things? You mean even germs? Bacteria? Abortions?
Oh no, Jane, I can tell from the tone of your voice. I've done something wrong again, haven't I?
I'm not sure. If what you've done is really eliminated all death, I was with the Red Cross before we became permanent guests of the government, and I've seen a lot of sickness, injury, all kind of horrible things that can happen to a human being. You know, people mangled in an auto accident or burned in a fire or full of cancer. You mean no matter how horrible it was, they couldn't die? Jane, by the way,
How
how
does she
cold,
know that
seriously?
he didn't just make everybody invulnerable? Right? And like,
That's
Unable
Or that they'll
to
heal
get sick.
themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's always been the negative Nelly, but we also, is it just me or is she seriously off model from what we saw before?
Yeah, it's a little funky.
Like it's at the very least, like her hair has changed, and that was kind of the most
Looks a
recognizable
little bit
thing about her.
like annoyed teen boy.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of both dressed in army fatigues, so it looks like, yeah, you young army woman, generic. He's like, "No, there is no more death." And I think you have made a mistake, kid. At least this time you're trying to do something right, though. I mean, seriously, she's always,
Just
"Oh,
like
you killed
talking
people?
down
That's wrong.
condescendingly to kid with godlike powers, like
You brought people back to life? That's wrong. Oh, you gave people immortality? That's also wrong." There's, you know. And somehow, "How can this be a mistake, Jane? Everyone all over the world fears death." She's gives them a talk about how they just fear the unknown, but really it's there's more to it than what he's realized, and religions of the world are all wrong, I guess. Okay, thanks, Jane. You know everything. So yeah, but truly they're correct in that the food chain doesn't work without death. You know, the germs and things won't be killed by medicine if there's no death. You know, everything just is gummed up, and this world can't really function under those circumstances. We've
you
only
can't.
seen like a dissected animal and a couple of monsters and this boy with cancer. So,
If you can't kill a bacteria, how can a bacteria kill a cell?
it, you
No,
know,
don't make a sense.
there's also like everything, like a bacteria would be doubling all the time, and so they would all be growing quickly and not recycling themselves. I don't know. The whole thing's just a question. "Then I am wrong again. Why do I seem unable to do anything right with all my power?" With all your power, you're still only a child. You're barely 6 months old. "So that is why I've taken certain steps." I'm sorry. When he says that you're barely 6 months old, this is the only date reference we really have in the book that puts it at like late August, early September. Anyway, back to the story. This is indeed after he's given the power to Wilford Brimley. "Don't worry, I've chosen wisely." And continues, "Roger, you are not happy with the new form I made for you?" And Jane pipes up, "No, I mean, he's a perfect physical specimen, but if that sort of thing had been important to me, I'd never have married him in the first place. Ouch."
you tubby loser.
"I see then. Before I depart," he waves his hand, and Roger shrinks, transmogrified back into Soy Boy Roger. I don't quite know what to call
Boy,
him.
Roger.
I think he must. He looks a bit like Box in Alpha Flight. No, Puck. Puck, I'm thinking. Yeah, I don't know. He's supposed to be just back to normal, but they shrunk him so much that it looks like he's a midget now. Somehow. Anyway,
I
he's
like
a.
the image on the next page where he's kind of like holding his man boobs. It's like I'm flabby again.
Where'd those pecs go? They were awesome. He's ready to go, but wait, one last thing before you go. "Can you get us out of here? Yeah, can you send us home?" "Of course." And he teleports them, sort of. It looks like Comet Man, I guess. But yeah, their disembodied spirits are headed back to the house in Ohio we originally saw them in. And we hear his goodbye soliloquy.
Farewell, Roger and Jane. I will miss you, I think.
I think.
You speak for all of us there, Star Child.
For the short time I walked with this world, you were my friends. And now, though I return you to your home, I fear you will not find the world to be the place you wish it was.
They appear in their living room, which this whole story had started for them.
We are back. We're home.
Roger is, to no one's great surprise, pissy immediately. I just wish I could see it. Jane, help me find my spare glasses, will you? She standing behind him has sort of a grin, like, oh, that's my Roger. We zoom back up into space where, Starbrand is floating there.
Death is necessary. This is something I had not considered. Balances must be maintained. Growth must be governed. Death must be restored.
And I guess he kills everyone.
Giant floating head with death rays.
Yeah, the giant floating head is now taking back its gift of life, I guess. We zip back to the pit zone where that decaying church we'd seen before. And Ken is still talking. The world was corrupted. The world was weak. The universe had gone astray. It needed a new vision. One man's vision. My vision. I was chosen by the old man. The old man was God. He created the universe, but he did not know how to do it right. Others tried to take the power. We see a little bit more of his face, which is, disturbing. The others tried to take the power. They mocked me, but the power came to me out of divine right. Nothing could. And he just collapses on the floor. And there's only one person left, sort of worshiping him, but he's like, Master? And now we cut back to. It's a little less funny than him like flying off a cliff, but drinking and on the motorcycle. But, and
I
now
mean,
one
this whole
last.
setup was just so he could kill Jim Shooter more than once in a comic book.
I can't imagine.
So
Yeah.
bitter.
Yeah. We cut back to Wilford Brimley and Billy, who's out of the hospital, and they're both like fishing off the end of a pier in a very nice pastoral setting. Billy's saying, I don't remember. I understand it, Gramps. I was real sick in the hospital, and then I don't remember much of anything else.
Nope, I don't expect you to, Billy.
And this place, the last thing I remember, it was winter, and they were saying on TV, and it would stay winter for a long time on account of what happened to Pittsburgh.
Yep, well, for most of the people, that's still the way it is. It's bad and it's going to get worse. See, that's part of why that Star Boy gave me this power. He is kind of a sissy boy, but I don't know. I didn't want to say anything to him, but he couldn't fix himself, so he gave me the power so I could fix him for him. I don't.
He tried to stop death, but what he really needed to do was give everybody Liberty Medical.
Once you sign up for that, you'll get a free diabetes monitor and their oatmeal. It's the right thing to do. So,
Mean you can make the whole world like this, Gramps?
well, now that I don't know, but I made this place easy enough. And gosh knows, I picked the hardest place I could think of to do it.
And as it sort of pans out, we see that this is. He's recreated the blue area on the moon. So it's this nice little bubble of beautiful Earth setting, but it's surrounded by the moon.
I don't know if I. But to fix up the whole world, I just don't know.
We get to the, one of those space splash pictures as he says that. And next issue. How will this newest wielder of the Star Brand affect the shattered story of our world? Don't miss the big fix.
I imagine he'll screw it up somehow.
There's a good chance. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff there.
Wilford Brimley is the new Star Brand.
So I guess that's a shout out a bit to Cocoon, which was a popular movie a couple of years before that. Cocoon was this story of some old people who got some alien energy source that rejuvenated them. It was like a feel-good movie. I'm not sure I ever watched the thing all the way through because that didn't really sell me on it either. So,
right.
Is that the basis for a good comic book? You be the judge next time, I guess. Has the Star Brand left this planet? Apparently? Finally?
I have a feeling he'll be back next issue anyway.
This, good chance of that. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, at some point I'm reading this and I'm like, is John Byrne just drawing whatever the heck he feels like? You know, it's like, I mean, there's a healthy dose of spite in there, but it's like the whole superhero scene in the beginning is pretty random, makes no real sense in the story. It's just a dream, doesn't really mean anything. I think it's just wanting to draw the Star Brand character like Superman and a cheesy Superman kind of thing. You got Wilford Brimley in space with the power. You got Zombie Ken, you know, which is not even loosely Jim Shooter. He's just like making him a crazy, you know, egomaniac who got the power from Stan Lee, but you know, even Stan Lee didn't know how to do it right. You got to do things my way. Like, oh my gosh, how bitter is John Byrne that he's putting this into these comic books?
I have a lot of sympathy for Shooter being kind of stuck in his old position between the creative types and the money men. You know what I mean?
Right.
You had like, yeah, he was getting these business directives, do this, do that. And the creatives want to, you know, go all over the place like a herd of cats. And, you know, sometimes, yeah, you ended up being, you know, kind of jerking people around. I guess famously, Shooter told them they had to kill Phoenix. And then a couple of years later, he comes back. You know, you have to bring Phoenix back because, you know,
right,
all this kind of stuff, you know, leaves certainly people with, you know, varying levels of how unhappy they are with their treatment. But to work this all out on the page like this, I mean, it's not, you know, John Byrne presents John Byrne's dreams. It's, you know,
yeah. Who in their right mind thought it was a good idea to give this guy this comic book though, right?
We'd always said, you know, if we had the money to hire the A-list talent to take some of these ideas, you know, New Universe would have gotten off on a better foot, maybe gotten a bigger audience. So at this point, I guess Byrne is still a big name, but he's not maybe a big paycheck at the moment. I don't know. I don't know. Because like I said, he's gone from Superman at DC back to Marvel, but is pulling in like Avengers West Coast. Is that a big book? I don't know.
Yeah, not really.
So, okay. I can imagine being, you know, you have a lot of creative freedom if you're in that position, and you could have used it wisely. But instead, you yourself have become a bit of the Ken Connell of, like, you know, always screwing up. Like every issue is like picking at the origin story one more time. You know what I mean?
Right. Without really making anything make more sense. It's just keeps making it worse.
Yeah. Yeah. You can either resolve things or you can, you know, avoid them. Yeah, tell a story about someone who's not complaining about this, the existence of the story. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I don't
you've
know, it's
got
fun.
like it's telling the Star Baby story, it's telling Roger and Jane, it's also like doing like general work of like what's going on in the new universe with like the pit stuff, like all together in a way that doesn't work.
The defocused, and then you get this random bunch of characters that you sort of just bounce around. I guess we said when we were talking about looking at the pit that that was, a disaster movie will usually have several characters all in different situations that are kind of reacting to this environmental whatever that, but yeah, I month to month, a comic book can't, that's why anthologies are such a hard sell, if you
Yeah.
don't have the core that yeah, you're just like, oh, why am I reading this after a while? And
All we need to do is just throw in The Witness and like really just seal the deal on this comic book being the worst.
We never even found out what was going on with The Witness and Myron or Ghost
No.
Myron or whatever that was.
I did like my idea that the witness was Ghost Myron, but
I would be fine with that, but you would. We'll leave that open, I guess, because it's not impossible. So yeah, that would be cool if that's really what happened.
doesn't really
But
make sense, but it still kind of works.
it makes more sense than Myron existing.
Right.
As a ghost.
Right.
Yeah, the whole there's always here's the thing. It's not that hard to make fun of superheroes, and be like, oh, this doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. That's really what you could do with any of them. And
Right.
the suspension of disbelief, that's the hard part. Kind of drawing people into the story, even though it's obviously a fantasy. Look, I'll just say we're a little disappointed in you, John Byrne.
The funny thing too is like I generally like John Byrne's work, like like the Superman, Fantastic Four, like I've sought those out to read and that kind of stuff and have runs of them in my comic book boxes, but oof.
Yeah, I in terms of craft, it I you know. He's in a very impressive person. His story, when it's all him doing the writing, is hit or miss for me. But this time period, yeah, he'd gone from through some very good runs of top books, very solid work on all of them.
Yeah. And I
I
think you
you
can
know
always
if.
kind of say like if you can't get along with any of the people you work with, maybe it's you, not them, Just maybe.
Just maybe, yeah.
Oh, this Claremont guy, he's a real pain. I hate this
I can't
guy.
stand these guys. Yeah, in the 90s, you would have said drawing a bunch of pages that don't really belong in the story but look cool was a way to sell some original art at a high price. I'm not sure that was really the market back then, and I'm not sure people would really pay any money for
Yeah,
Roger
I do
Starburn.
like the superhero stuff in the beginning, like the Emperor Zurg bad guy, Cerebrex, actually looks really awesome. And then like the dark destroyed church and like that last page of ranting, like actually also looks kind of awesome too. So like just visually, like some of the stuff's pretty cool. But I mean the rest of it's like Wilford Brimley in space. It's just like no matter how neat that or how well drawn that is, it still looks stupid.
Yeah, that I forgot to point out that destroyed church, there's like a rat that's, I don't know, the size of a horse or something, because it's
Right.
eating something else and
Like a
it's
giant rat eating a regular rat or something. Yeah. But it looks
yeah.
cool.
It looks cool, and even destroyed Ken looks cool. Like
Yeah.
it would be great, like EC horror comic stuff.
And he dies again. It's like, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah, it was kind of funny the First time at this point, I'm getting tired of the joke, though. You know, it's a running gag that he kills him in each issue. Okay. Jimmy Olsen making an appearance.
What do you think Wilfred Brimley's going to try and do to the planet?
Here's the point. Okay, at the time, I kind of remember what we're heading with this, but at the time, and looking at this, and you know, being a comic book reader, I'm thinking, you know, either roll back the pit, or at least, you know, unscrew up the world quite as much. Because I didn't realize until sort of we're way into this that all this bad weather, like it looks like the middle of winter, like there's a blizzard going on everywhere, is August and in the US,
Yeah.
which suggests that they're, and they start kind of talking about basically nuclear winter, which I know was a big concern at the time. So we've seen that there's weather patterns have changed, and we see something about a volcano in the pit now in one of the Universe News things. So I think it's going for this like total worldwide, you know, ecological disaster angle. That we're not kind of getting that in the other books yet or
Right.
something. But you know, you're thinking, well, yeah, can this guy undo some of this damage? Because, you know, Byrne brought the damage, Byrne can undo the damage. You know what I mean?
Right. It's been a long
So,
way since the world outside your window.
yeah, so I, you know, reading this naively, I would think that's where we're headed. I don't know. Is it worth giving a grade to this?
The
It is the pits.
pits
I just.
covers it quite succinctly, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It's difficult to give a letter grade to it. It's interesting he's doing full art here. He's a little sometimes, as you say, the art is pretty nice. And sometimes it's a little sketchy, like an inker might have done
Right,
it,
yeah.
helped and
Some
helped
of it
him
might
much.
have gotten a little rushed.
Yeah, weirdly, like I feel like there's you I don't know, I could complain all day. Let's
Let's knock
head
out
on
this
into
night
the
mask thing.
let's take a look at that and complain about that some more then.
Yeah, more complaining.
We're supposed to be like the positive pro uni new universe podcast.
I don't know. Once. Once we get some Jack Magnaconti back, I'll be happy again. We'll
Good
see.
enough.
But yeah, Night Mask backup again? Like, what in what parallel universe would I feel like I don't want more Night Mask backups? I'd like to see something different. But anyway.
It's when you've been through like three or four in a row, you're just
But
okay.
yeah, so he was trying to help Dave Landers, but accidentally, like through his ES people mental block, got teleported to the ES people, had a little run-in with them, got mind wiped and sent along his way. And then on the way walking back to civilization, ran into some bikers and kind of beat them up and manifested his dream powers in real life again, which sometimes he does. And then yeah, he's just walking back to Fort Benning. But here we're July 29th, 1988, Fort Benning, Georgia, and there's like a huge thunderstorm. Like everything's kind of like dark, and like the visuals are pretty interesting in this. Says Keith Remsen is a paranormal. He's also known as Night Mask. He has the power to enter the dreams and nightmares of anyone he chooses. Before I get into it, I guess the story is titled Madman. You got an interesting combo, Gregory Wright, writer slash colorist. You don't see that too often.
No, but this maybe it helps because it's more like dream imagery, and so he sort of know maybe knows what he wants, you know, otherwise you may think, you know, get may have been, you know, muddier or something if someone who didn't know the story intimately.
Yeah.
But
I
it's,
guess
in fact, I'm not sure I've ever seen that combination before. You're right.
I'm not sure I have either. I guess Gregory Wright was Gruenwald's assistant editor, and like most of his biography is coloring work. So Kieran Dwyer on art. I guess he was artist for Captain America for a while when they were doing like the replacement Captain America, John Walker guy, who made it into the MCU, I suppose.
Yeah, I think he's done a couple of these backups, and yeah, he was doing that with Gruenwald on he was doing Captain America with Gruenwald around this time, so.
With the Gruenwald Squad and Jackson Butch Juice Guice, how do you pronounce that? Juice
I guess I called it
Juice.
Guise or something in my head.
Anyway,
I think he had done penciling for DC, The Flash, maybe around this time.
okay. Anyway, Keith Remsen's in bed having nightmares. And you would get a peek into his dream world, and he's basically like in hell. There's a bridge of skulls, there's little demons like biting him and poking at him. I was like, tonight his sleep is plagued by nightmares, but these belong to someone else. Nightmask is only a guest. This time it isn't his choice. And so there's this crazy like muscle guy with like S&M spikes all over, like with a bloody chainsaw, like with teeth on it. It's pretty wild. It's like a soul is required for the master, and yours
Very,
should do nicely.
very heavy metal.
It's very heavy metal. So yeah, like he swings and Keith falls off the Bridge of Skulls into the Lake of Fire, only to be like snatched out of midair by some giant dragon thing kind of catching him in its mouth. It's like, welcome to my nightmare. Isn't it wonderfully frightening? Or are you just afraid of losing your mind? You won't, not just yet, not while I need you. So I guess Nightmask is getting a taste of his own medicine here. He kind of like the narration is presumably the evil dream guy and says, your powers came during a white event, mine came from a black one. So I guess more confirmation that we've got evil paranormals from the pit disaster. You've helped people through my dreams I kill. I must feed on their souls to save my own. You will help me speak. Keith gives like a why me, but also like energy beams out of him or holes get shot through him. I don't know what's going on. He kind of transfers over into what looks like, you know, kind of like the pit edge kind of area, just like a ruined world. There's all these zombies after him. And you know, they only want what you still got, life. So how do you like my little playground? Yeah, so again, he's basically like crowd surfing on all these zombies, you know, kind of trying to run, trying to get away. There's just a little sliver of light. It's like the evil narrator says, I'm trapped here. I want escape. Help me or pay the price of those around you. And then I don't know if this is what the character is supposed to look like, but it's like this huge guy with like a blonde buzz cut, you know, or like flat top almost. Kind of like grabbing Nightmask and says, what happens here happens for real. So again, you know, you die in the dream world, you die in real life for some reason. And Keith is finally starting to think, he's like, I gotta do something. Maybe I can climb inside this lunatic's mind, find out where he's been. I can alter or twist. And then we got this like kaleidoscopic art of color. And I don't, honestly, you can't really make much out of it. There's like a meat grinder and maybe someone with a baseball bat. Like,
This is the point where, yeah, like it's completely,
some religious symbolism, perhaps.
yeah, the yeah, it's I where he says justice killer at the end, I guess that does look like, you know, maybe
Oh
Justice
yeah.
Zarm outreach, I just see.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's like a new like a mushroom cloud in the background.
The meat grinder is a good catch. I see there's like a puppet master or
Yeah.
something. I don't even know, yeah, if this is like some alternative art techniques, like like the where you have like a blackboard and you sort of scratch
Yeah.
light into it. It's a bit like that.
Yeah.
Very
It's
interesting.
something. But yeah, so like, we get like a flash of light. So, Keith thinks, find his fear and exploit it. The justice killer? And like as soon as he says that, like the dream, whatever the heck it is, guy holding him kind of explodes. It's like the justice killer could be my salvation, my release. and then everything kind of like doodly doodly for morphs back into real life, and yet another doctor, and yet another hospital. So just relax. You've been in a coma for a week. Couldn't determine the cause. It's like, Doc, you're not gonna believe this one. I was pulled into someone's dream nightmare. Someone sick and twisted. I've got a feeling that if you die in this dream, it's real. It's like, well, haven't you guys been saying that all along anyway? Just made that crap up anyway. And you're like, Keith, it's too dangerous to go dream hopping by yourself. It's like, maybe you should use your sister. It's like, no, I told you I was pulled. So, well, tell me how you got out. And Keith is there, and he's actually got like blood on it coming out of his mouth, and he's hooked up to oxygen, and he's got that awful haircut from the army again, which makes him unrecognizable. He says, "The justice killer." And that's it.
Is it, now that I look at it, doesn't it look like there's like a word balloon that's cut off on the bottom?
Oh, it does look like there is. There's totally a missing one. Screw
What the heck are the buttons?
that one up. Maybe that would be like next time in Psi-Forces 2012 or something. I don't know.
Next week in, yeah, Psi-Force 26.
Yes.
Another
The only thing I could
night
figure,
mask backup.
another night mask all the time. The only thing I could figure out is like, is this this guy his own thing, or is he somehow related to that like shadowy figure that like hired the paranormal hitman against Justice in the last issue or something like that? Maybe,
Oh,
maybe.
that's a thought. I mean, it was difficult for me to understand from this. I think your idea that this is a rival dream paranormal who is himself afraid of the justice killer, who is, of course, justice. So Keith realizes that he has to find justice to take this guy on. Is that what that's kind of, that's what I got after a couple of
Yeah.
read-throughs. It's, but yeah, I was, at first I was like more confused than enlightened. It's the art style, like we said, the penciler has been doing good old, normal Captain America at this time, but this is a very, I don't know what cartoonist kayfabe would call outlaw artist or outsider
Yeah.
alternative art style, very dark and edgy stuff.
If you were going to use a dream infiltrating character, why not go back to the gnome or that like Lady Midnight that they left hanging forever ago? Yeah. Maybe they
Also a
didn't
good
read those
point.
books.
It's that's a great question.
Like
The
that would have
gnome
been a cool,
had
this would have been a good
assistance
chance
too.
to follow up on that kind of stuff. Right? Give us some closure.
I think we'll have a chance to talk in the recap episode about how little closure we're actually getting in the new universe. How
Womp womp.
rarely characters are brought to justice. Yeah, it's a, I don't know. It's not much more like understandable than that like Potiphar one. It's like, okay, something happened. With Keith, it's always like I'm t caught in a dream, I can't get out. Now I'm out. The end.
Yeah, the Potiphar one felt particularly pointless, but
If we see Potiphar fighting with nerve gas later, I guess we'll understand the point of that one.
Right.
But hopefully this will be followed up on. It would definitely be a good sort of teaser to a potentially interesting story. And some, I mean, that's also fine if these if they don't resolve old things, like we got to go back to the ES people, that was fine. But if you want to like look forward to, give us a little teaser of an upcoming story, sure, do that. Make it a little more understandable, maybe, but we'll see.
Right.
Let's see. Anything else to cover this issue? Any new promos or anything?
Don't think so. Maybe the Semper Fi ad is new. Maybe not. Universe News we got covered.
I
Still the
just found an
same.
issue of Semper Fi in the back bins, so I'll take a look at that to see how it goes.
Yeah, I think we did talk about that one last time. I'd say, yeah, the as we talked about the cover, one of the biggest bummers is like this is still the era where most Marvel comics have that little corner, the art in the top left corner. Yeah. Not so much for Starbrand, though. Not so much for any of the new universe. Like they just don't bother with it. Nor does it say new universe on it anywhere. But only Starbrand is the only one that doesn't say the new universe. It's like Byrne
Yeah, that's
wrote
probably in
that into his
someone's,
rider.
probably in his contract somewhere.
I
It
want
does.
30 bags of Skittles and can't print new universe on here anywhere.
I'm okay with if they'd use the Star Brand logo on as part as like the new universe branding, but I guess not.
All right, so that's it for this week's hot mess. This season, which is not a hot mess, is now finished. Finally. Next time we are going to take a look back at the new now universe in one of our regular or semi-regular recap episodes, going over the new you changes and status in what we're calling season four. Join us as we take a look back at all we've seen since the pit. And prepare for what is unfortunately the last season of our first run New Universe comics, right? We're getting to the end, people. Had to happen at
Ah,
some point.
all good things.
And we all get the diabetes and move on. But yeah, so
You won't ever die, and you'll always live forever.
Kickersinc.com. Find us there. New Universe Podcast at gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
Pay the price for your altruism.
That is a question that has never been answered.